Not with you guys, but with the planning board, it's like, oh my God, you know, this.
I think you should pick out one that you understand totally, and then they'll buy it for you.
Just get a monk to come in and scratch it out of the wax tablet for you.
But, you know, and you know, that means I have to do that portion of the minute, so.
Yeah.
Oh, is that Jenny's role?
Yeah, it's a mistake that.
Costs you.
Twice.
Yes.
But it's on, and it is working.
User error.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Two past seven. Affordable Housing Collaborative. Okay, you know, I don't normally do the roll call, but should I have been all these 7 years?
No, but yet we certainly have a new.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were from the planning board or.
No, I'm a new member.
Oh, God.
I was sworn in today. I got Monday night.
Well, welcome.
Welcome. If we had known, we would have.
Had a cake.
Yeah. I had brownies on my counter that I almost brought. So I
That's great. So you live, obviously you live in town.
Peacedale.
Mm-hmm. God.
Okay.
This is Kenny Burke.
We just started. Yeah.
His name was in the paper this week. Mm-hmm. But not because of those houses. He wrote a snow cone. Snow cone. Or something?
Oh, snow sidewalk shoveling?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Google's amazing.
It is. Anyway, so.
Okay, so approval of January 28th minutes.
Move approval.
I second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Did you see them?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I did.
Okay. Housing related requirements for the update of the town's comprehensive community plan.
Yeah, we started, seems like we just finished, but we started, and we talked a little bit about this last month.
Yeah.
About that under the state enabling statute changed, so the towns have to bring their comp plans theoretically into conformance on or before June 1st, 2016. I think that's going to get kicked out a year. In fact, I'm pretty confident there's been a bill filed to do so, because there's 65% of the communities in the state are not compliant with the law as it stood, as it stands. Not South Kingston, right. We're okay. But that date of compliance has some new elements added in, sea level rise, climate change, natural hazards planning, energy planning, which are new. And so I think there's six or maybe seven communities that are compliant with the law as it's changed. There's another eight that would technically have their comp plans have state approval expiration on June 1st, and then the balance of the communities in the state are to varying degrees non-compliant. But, you know, it's not necessarily a requirement to have state approval. But if you have state approval, then the state approval of the local plan will guide state agency actions. So, I mean, for South Kingstown, with the university, for example, or for any community with DOT, I mean, having the comp plan be fully vetted. Here's Elise. Hi. fully vetted. You know, it lends more strength to the document. So, anyway, we've begun the process with the planning board. In fact, almost completed doing a request for proposals, which we talked about at some length the other night with the planning board. So we're going to go out for consulting services. So we have a generalized and a time frame developed. We'll be out on the street for the RFP. On or before St. Patrick's Day, I believe, will be. And that with the responses due in middle of April.
Good target.
So St. Patrick's Day for the first ad, and tax day for the receipt of the. Although I think tax day is pushed back for some reason or another.
Yeah, I don't think it's the 15th.
But one of the areas that the plan will need some revisions is under housing. So. Wanted to, thought it would be helpful to talk about really what people feel the need is, but and I did. I received a new resource, which I want to. I just got this on Monday, and it's. I had given some data grabbed from hither and yon from, you know, from the census and the American Community Survey and what have you. But I think this compilation is actually geared towards the state handbook number 5, which is for housing and to meet the criteria we've outlined. Not completely dissimilar to what we have in our plan, but I thought it would be a good thing for folks to have. Oh, I got another one here. All right. I gave one the other night. I couldn't even remember, but yeah, it's been a kind of week. So handbook number 5 actually looks for, and I think I did provide an excerpt, if not this month, last month. There's 8 different criteria that they outline in the handbook. First being an overview of housing in the community. The second being housing patterns and conditions. Mm-hmm. And then data sets, which this document speaks to. You know, it's actually a pretty nice thing statewide put together because otherwise, I mean, you can grab all this stuff, but the census is, for those who may have worked with it, it's not always that easy to tease the information out. It can be kind of maddening, actually, but the fourth is an assessment of existing and future housing needs in the community. Mm-hmm. The fifth is the demonstration of how the community would work to meet the 10% requirement of state law, which has existed for some. The sixth one is about inclusionary zoning, which we have. I guess some communities in the state may not have that, and that's where affordable gets included in. Well, we are, you know, included in housing developments that come before the planning board, and this group for, and then consistency with state housing goals and local policies to support those, and then implementation action. So that's the setup they're looking for, more or less. But you know, communities can design. But anyway, this demographic summary, I think, provides, if you take a look at it, if we might take a look for a moment or two.
Yeah, this is interesting.
This is really helpful.
Yeah, it's, if you look at our general population, you know, it's no surprises there how it breaks out in terms of, you know, across the demographic spectrum or ethnic spectrum. Mm-hmm. Educational attainment's an interesting one to look at. Mm-hmm. That we have a lot of folks with, degrees in the town, or bachelor's degree or better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get to the second page, it gets more, starting to hone in on housing things a little bit. You get the median household income for, I believe it's for 2013 from the American Community Survey. And, fully 50, and obviously as a median, so you get 50% of the households in the community are below that number. And, 80% of that median is usually the definition most often utilized for low and moderate income. So 80% of 73,780, which is what, in the 50s or something, would be. And then, of course, you have your cohort definition of population. And interesting, the 15 to 20, URI is included in our population, which is important to note. Because when in the 2010 census, South Kingstown jumped, I think, 17% or some such. But a big portion of that
was URI.
Because URI in 2000, they had a whole bunch of dorms offline because they were rehabbing them.
Yeah.
So the kids all went down to Narragansett to raise hell for that year. Then they came back. So there's more people living on campus. So our growth was a little artificially inflated. But those cohorts to look at are interesting. Mm-hmm. Or even, how we break out as a community. They have some projections of population, which basically shows us growing about 1% a year. Mm-hmm. And when the state was putting these together, we had back and forth conversations with them about my office, about making sure they understood that URI wasn't going to continue to grow exponentially because because they're not. They're not planning, you know, they are planning another dorm now in some of the fraternity circle Greek housing, which they kicked all off, but now they like them again because, you know, they have money to build housing that the university doesn't.
Yeah.
And the community has always had an interest to rather see housing on campus more so than off.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we don't have the concentration of student housing off here, you know, like Narragansett does, but we do have, you know, pockets here and there, mm-hmm. and there has been a little bit of a trend of you know, student-type housing outside of Kingston. But anyway, they're showing us to grow by about 5,600, you know, between 2020 and 2040, almost 5,600 people about it. It looks, it's like a 1% growth per year over that 20-year period. A little less than that, actually.
You're going to start building more houses. There won't be any room for them.
Right.
Well, actually, that you kind of get to that, actually. Then if you get to page 3.
Yep.
And I would give credit that there's a woman that works at Statewide Planning, Chelsea Seifert. Do you know Chelsea?
Yeah.
She's.
You said her name before.
Oh, I love her. She's great. Yeah. She's a really a great help and a really good, you know, she's, you know, friend. And, you know, she's been a good person to work with.
Yeah.
Going back to the Healthy Places by Design, she was one of the health department employees at that time. But you've got number of existing household units, and they're showing the increase since 2000. Which I think their numbers may be higher than what the town might, you know, these are based on census data. Occupied versus vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Year-round versus seasonal.
Now, Ben,
yes.
Is there a way to get at the vacant units, identify them?
Well, as to locationally.
But
that's a good question.
Isn't vacant housing dependent on what time of the year the census was
census
done?
Census is usually in April. What is it? Not
so
usually, it's
are,
in April. But
there are that many vacant houses.
There's seasonal.
Well,
yes.
Well, look below.
Another thing.
Seasonal.
Perhaps.
There's 23. Yeah, I think they might. I think vacant might. It's got to include seasonal.
Did Chelsea do this data?
It must.
No. This is from the, I think it's probably either from the 2010, let's see. Occupied is, just looked at footnote 5 on the last page.
I bet you the actual vacants and the difference between 2588 and 2020.
That's from the 2013 American Community Service survey. I think seasonal is a subset of vacant, as
yes.
It would have been. Yeah. You know, and you know,
well, still a couple hundred units.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, because they assessed those in April, so there's nobody at Mary Carpenter's or Roy Carpenter's Beach in April.
Yeah. Right.
So that's got to be it, actually. But it is always interesting to note that we have, you know, 17% of seasonal housing.
Yeah.
At one point in time, people may recall that when they calculate the 10% requirement under the state law for goal, I like to say, versus requirement, for affordable, they used to include just your gross housing unit count. And Block Island, I guess, complained bitterly and, you know, and appropriately, and they pulled that out. And that was several years ago, I guess, you know, which was made sense, but... So they did. That was good for SK too, at least in terms of the realistic picture.
Right.
Of what. But you know, I think over time, seasonal becomes some of the seasonal units will become, you know, are becoming year round.
Yeah.
You know, it's like mm-hmm. you go like down, you know, Matunic in around the Seaside Market, for example. You get a lot more, you know, it's more Snug Harbor and stuff. You know, you get a lot more people hang out, you know, year round. You're there.
Yeah.
Insulating this places,
and I think sometimes as the economy got better, we had every year we have two or three people saying we're not going to rent the house this summer, we're going to use it.
Mm.
But during the recession, they were pretty much being rented.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the summer, they take 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know that seasonal vacant model kind of sets up well for people that have vacation homes. If you had something like Blackberry Hill or
There's a high
Green
percentage
Hill.
Of second homeowners that couldn't do it.
I mean, does your agency, do you guys rent?
Yeah.
A little bit? Don't do a lot of it.
I think we had 20 this year. Yeah. But no stickers on the doors in Narragansett.
That's good.
That is good, actually. But it's just kind of interesting to look at. You know.
Yeah.
And then they break down single, multi, other, owner, rental, when, you know, median, you know, the middle year built and the median age. I was looking, and I've got the data, but I haven't boiled it down yet. Just, to, you know, the last, I've got, from the building inspector, I got the last new units in the last, since 2010. And it's, you know, it's a little over, all around the, but in 2010, there were 78 new housing units built, and that would have been of any variety.
Mm-hmm.
2011, only 48. 2012, 95. 2013, 67. 2014, 47. And 2015, 33. Now, I think they, some units, if it's a tear down in a new unit, they don't count it.
Uh-huh.
Because,
okay.
So, and you, well, you know, and
some
that
of
is.
That going on.
No, sure, yeah. Probably too much of it.
You know, I meant that there was a great article, in, I think on Tuesday in the Journal, about building permits in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, and I printed it out to email you guys before, and I forgot to do it.
But if, you know.
They're not building enough houses.
Well, I think this kind of says that.
Yes.
You know, we built out, like, when Wakefield Meadows over, you know, that was a pretty big development. When that finished building out, we have... It's just a house here, house. So we haven't had any big subdivisions.
Right.
You know, East Matunic Farm is probably the largest. Yeah, that's definitely the largest.
Yeah.
Farm.
Really?
Yeah. And we don't have anything before the planning board of that magnitude. Now, you will see when South County Country Club, which had, you know, a long history of its manufactured homes, and there's 303 units to be built there out in Perryville, and a 9-hole golf course, and... But, you know, that's 55 plus, two bedrooms or less. But, and that, you know, that approval goes way back, and then it was fought tooth and nail in court for a number of years, and they prevailed, and, you know, it finally got sold, and it's finally getting underway. But I think that'll show as a boost as that becomes market, you know. But it hasn't been actively marketed yet, that I'm aware of. You know, they're just doing the infrastructure work now. But...
You haven't driven up that way.
It's a huge site.
Road and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's 303 units, but it's like one unit per 40K square foot of lot.
That's so, almost an acre?
Yeah, just under. Yeah.
I was hoping that the units would be on the street the long way, but they're coming in just like Tuckertown is for the most part.
Yeah, it'll be, I think, you know, uppers. And they're going to have a clubhouse and... tennis courts and no bowling alley, so we know he's not out of the field, so. Yeah. But you know, that's going to boost us. But you know, from an affordable point of view, not so much. I mean, but it'll. But it's, and anyway, that's. I do think what the data for, and I have from the tax assessor. I got the last 10 years of data, which I need to tease out a bit. You know, they report it by state tax classification. You know, 01 is single family, 02 is 2 to 5, and then, but there's all these, you know, everything is a classification. And I have the data for each year, so I think it'll take, well, I actually won't mind doing it. It'll take a few hours to kind of go through and add it up and just see what the breakdown based on tax assessment over, you know, each year, presumably, which is reasonably accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they could be successful with that. There's a lot of people in the big old houses that are looking for a smaller one-level place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to free up some houses.
Well, and manufactured homes are, you know, they're not what people used to think. Ooh, you know, they're pretty nice, actually.
Hopefully they'll be on a foundation.
Full foundation, full basement for us. And they want to put carport garages on, too, because people want that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Once you've had one, you kind of...
Right.
I heard Amendola has one.
Oh, out in the east side.
A football player in Providence.
Yeah, that was on the east side, but then we have the median sales prices here. It's kind of interesting, the jump from 2000 to 2015. And then they had rentals on the following page on top of page 4. So, I mean, all this stuff will inform the update of the comp plan housing element. And it's gonna, and I have this stuff electronically, too, which is, so that'll be pretty helpful. Interesting to look at the rental prices, which are, wow, you know, pretty.
Yeah. They're pretty expensive.
I thought the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. I wonder how this compares to other towns.
Yeah. Well, they're producing these, you know, like a month or so ago, they gave us an example of this. I think it was from Westerly. So they're going to do one for each city and town.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're complete, but I happen to email and say, you know, hey, by the way, have you done, you know, do mm-hmm. we have one for SK yet? And they sent it right away. So
the problem
I think URI, I think, inflates the cost of the rentals very much so.
Well, I assume these are year-round rentals, not seasonal.
I don't know.
Because that would skew it. I mean, the students will pay $525 a bedroom.
Right.
Yeah.
So that brings up big monies. And as far as I know, Rhode Island Housing always got their these numbers from advertising them.
Yeah, this is from Housing Works Rhode Island.
Yeah, Housing
Rhode
Works.
Island Housing Rent Survey.
Yeah.
So
I've never gotten a survey asking what I rent for. I have a 2-bedroom with a new bath and a new kitchen and washer dry, a dishwasher, and it's under $1,000. It's an apartment though. First floor. It's got a porch.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Good.
You could raise your rent.
Yeah.
Right.
I was thinking
the same thing.
We need more of those.
I think these are a little high.
I think they're based. You know, someone says, I want $1,300 for my apartment or house, and they'll say, well, you take this. Just like when you buy a house.
Mm. Yeah. And, well, anyway, they show kind of a high number. You know, if it's a little higher than it ought to be, but it just shows you that. You know,
it's
even at one,
very hard for families to afford rents in our town.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
that's why we need affordable rentals.
Right. And I mean, maybe just to, then they, you know, they go through a whole thing about what cost burden household, which, you know, by varying degrees below, you know, the number. And so all this stuff, that, you know, there's an expectation that these figures will be in comp plan housing elements for all the different communities in the state. And, you know, this is Rhode Island Housing at a great deal of input into this, these standards being articulated.
Mm-hmm.
But and then they get into some of the specifics on it, South Kingstown, in terms of how much low and moderate, and this is based on the, you know, essentially just based on the inventory that they put together at Rhode Island Housing each year of units that meet the definition of state law. And so we have 592, 5.4%, you know.
Did they reach out to you to confirm data?
They send us a draft, and then we take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and over the last several years, you know, I looked at it and checked it and found that they've missed, remember, they didn't have Tupelo on 1 year. And they didn't, they were short a unit at Indian Run 1 year. You know, and then group home beds, we had arguments about that because they wouldn't, they said they went down, but they wouldn't tell me where they went. They said, you know, they wouldn't give the information. But the last couple of years is that a young man named Rollins that works there, he's been pretty good to work with, actually.
Good.
You know, if you can show them. And this year they didn't have the two of the units at that Habitat built on Old North Road.
Oh, by URI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I had to provide him with, you know, when they were CO'd and stuff like that, which I'm glad to do because I wanted to see the units appear on the inventory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they also show how it breaks down. You know, it's 58% elderly. And
yeah, that's our issue. I mean, it's...
Right, and only 25% family and other, which would, you know, cover a broader spectrum like... under 811 program or, you know, other kinds of housing.
Handicap stuff.
Yeah, the
Housing Authority.
Housing Authority. Well, they'd be under family, I think.
Family.
Yeah. Yeah. And or you know, stuff like the Kenyon Terrace property right behind the Kenyons, which is coming along, looks really good. That property.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and really does look good.
This number is high.
You're about 70%
done. 70% done?
More yeah. Money available to build that kind.
Yeah, and that's under the. That well, it's not 811. They got the funding from.
44 units.
They lost that original grant.
BHRI and threshold.
Right. And there's a chunk of CDBG money in there that they want to change. Well, we can talk about that. Yeah.
Although I bumped into Charlie Pytel over there on housing, he started talking about home funds. That didn't show up in that budget. Yeah. So I asked him about it.
I have a question. That 5.4%, has that really hasn't changed very much, has it, in the last 10 years or so?
We've well,
stayed in the
5% range. I think about 2012, they started using the number from the 2010 census. So that, you know, upped the basis for calculating. So actually, when they started doing that, every community in the state, their number went down based on what was built between 2000 and 2010. So we were up in the upper fives at one point.
Yeah, you were 5.8,
yeah.
I think, at one point.
Yeah. But you know, it is the definition, if you're familiar, is you know, the minimum 30-year affordability and some kind of subsidy in place. So stuff like, you know, Section 8 vouchers don't count. Yeah. But, you know, it's where, you know, we've been holding our own kind of, but there's been growth in the base. So, you know, but every 10 years the base changes, then the 10% number target becomes different. And, you know, this 2020 census will probably be available sometime 2021 or 2022. So it's a number that...
So we're actually doing better. You really can't look at those numbers.
I think we're doing okay. In a couple of years back in the mid-2000s, South Kingstown was second only to Providence in terms of units produced. But we had the good fortune of a couple of larger projects go through either as comprehensive permits or under the HUD 202 program, the La Casa Apartments, which are on Samuel Rodman Street. You know, that was...
So that, they don't count then?
No, they do. But
oh, okay.
We will, you know, we had those come in and...
Yeah.
They popped up all at once, you know, so...
Right.
Yeah,
but, you know, more recently there's been a, you know...
Fewer subdivisions,
recession, less land available. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into making it difficult. But, you know, there's still the need, obviously. I think when you look at the cost burden households that really, or the, you know, or what it costs to rent.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, putting the 10% aside, the only other metric that I can think of is really just matching up your income to the availability of a rental unit or a house, right?
Right?
Just straight up. And just looking at the 30% guideline, what are the 30% of your income? You have to make $50,000 to be about, you know, with 30% of that, it's $1,250 a month. So, just kind of.
And that's gross, $50,000.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And that's two bedrooms.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's
might
two
be,
bedrooms, right?
There
right.
might be
if
two
kids.
Yeah.
On the kids' side, you're on your own. And just looking at raw numbers, that's, you know, like over 30 some odd percent of the population, or at least this number of occupied households. I'm wondering how do you reasonably use this data in order to say, you know, is the 5.something% good? Are we going in the right direction? I mean,
well,
I know if you know folks are still doubled up, you know, and I mean I have 5 cars in my driveway, you know, kids staying, you know, in the house, and, mother-in-law moving in and the whole nine yards. It's like
I think having the 10% out there is kind of, I mean, it creates a goal. And you know, and a so-called requirement under state law, but I think if you just kind of, if you like you said, put that aside, I think the need is really, and we've talked about it a bit, is for family housing and for rental housing.
Mm-hmm.
So now, on a local level, what does that mean? It means you have to have the ability to build more of that in some place. So you need the zoning for it. So I think,
you know, the land, right?
Yeah, and the land has to be zoned for multi-household, mm-hmm. and the land has to be supported by appropriate infrastructure, because generally speaking, you can't have higher densities without the availability of sewer service, for mm-hmm. example. And, you know, they had some statistics in there about some people that don't have cars and stuff. So that means the village areas really need to probably look to try to accommodate a little bit more density, conversion of larger units into multi-units or new construction. So I think from a comp plan perspective, the town needs to think about, you know, where can we do this?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not an easy thing, as everybody knows, because
we have in the past asked Vin to show us the town map and tell us where yeah. anything 10 acres and over was,
mm-hmm.
so we could literally look at them to yeah. try to see if we, because when we started, we thought we could really have an effect. Mm-hmm. And then the recession came, and you know, we've been a little disappointed that it, but obviously, unless we want to finance it ourselves,
the well, financing is the big thing.
Yeah, yeah, it basically left us.
Right. I mean, there is going to be a bond, I think, on the ballot. $40 million?
40.
Yeah.
And how much would SK?
Over so many years, though, right?
Yeah.
You can do it over
but at least
years.
It was in the budget.
Right.
Depends who applies for it.
Okay.
But, I mean, it does, you know, there's like kind of a spectrum of what you need to produce more housing of opportunities and resources. And it's, you know, as we've heard Jeff talk about, the difficulty of putting these things together.
Oh, I don't know how he does it.
I haven't done it that much yet.
No.
you've been
in
there.
That's the part that's tough.
You keep trying, Christmas sake.
He puts together different monies to try to do something. And
I'm buying a parcel finally on the 9th of March for 11 units.
That's but not in SK?
In Shannon. No. On the Charlestown side.
Come to the other side.
It's partnered financially with a deal in Richmond. And we're in for tax credits again, but this Shannon parcel has been up before with our housing at least 3 times for funding and hasn't gotten it.
And it never got it?
Never got it. Per unit cost is too high.
Is that when you first drive in on the left, there's like houses in there, or is it?
That's Columbia Heights.
Yeah.
So. No, this is on the other side of the Amtrak bridge, the far side of the Amtrak bridge.
Okay.
There's a big white single family there. Mm-hmm. That's the site.
Okay.
But, so I'm buying it anyway. I mean.
So you can see what the economy, that's why when you see those tiny little numbers of permits in a year, what was the limit in permits in the mid, were you here in the mid-80s?
Well, I think no, but I think the crescendo of permits, which kind of freaked the town out,
right,
in the middle 80s, was I think there was 275 single-family permits issued in 1 year, I think in 1985 or 86.
Yeah. And then they...
And the following year was like 240, so... And all of a sudden you get, you know, and that was when the South Road Corridor was just, you know, blowing up.
Old South Farm, where right. I live.
And they have always tried to protect the school, so they right. passed an ordinance that said once the permits came to a certain number, let's say 225, see what these numbers are, they're peanuts. We're not building enough houses...
We're not.
...for everybody.
Right.
Obviously for affordable people, but for not even people... who would come and buy a new house.
Yeah.
Land has never recovered from the recession. No young people are building out. Well, maybe a few, but very little interest.
Are young people even staying or coming here?
Well,
I think...
They're not buying, though. They're
my kids have all moved away to find work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mine too.
Mine too, yep. Except for the younger one.
Except the ones at home.
Yeah. And his girlfriend.
Except for my son, who has disabilities, and is that the population that we want?
Right? Yeah. Well, you know, the town wants to have a vibrant mix of people,
right.
And I think if you look at earlier on how we break down, you know, do we want to be just a community with of old curmudgeons?
keep the bowling alley in business.
or do we want, you know?
Do you really hang out? out there, or are they just kidding?
I go every Friday.
Oh, okay.
Out of there in about an hour.
Cheryl's hanging around there.
I went there Friday night with my friends. We had fun.
But, you know, it does speak, you know, the range of options. You're absolutely right. We're not building enough. Our regulations probably aren't accommodating. But, you know, with more density, it's more difficult. You know,
that infill thing is very difficult.
Yeah. I mean, and we do say that in the plan, but when something comes in, you know, the people in the village areas are not necessarily embracing of that.
Yeah.
So how do you balance this out?
I don't want you guys to think I just want more houses because it's good for business. It is. But when you see those numbers after those 80s, which there were problems, but they were protecting the school, so they would say, you're going to get your permit, but we're going to tell you when you get it.
Well, they call that development pacing and phasing. And it's if you want to read something very complicated and convoluted in the zoning ordinance, just go to section 11 of the zoning ordinance. That's
I'm not going there, anybody else.
Yeah, no, I'm not going there.
But they had a thing in there called the period of rapid growth.
Yeah.
And that's when they used to dole the permits out. And we haven't been in a period of rapid growth since July of 2001.
Yes.
And in that, we were only in it for 1 month, and that was when they were building apartments at South County Commons.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and we had a lot of development going on there, and I did work here then. I came in 1998, and, you know, it was crazy, you know. Actually, I came from East Greenwich to here, and I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell am I getting myself into? Because it was just like, you know, pedal to the metal, you know, full bore, and you know, and unfortunately, a lot of that development happened before the affordability issue was really front and center. So there wasn't the requirements to provide, you know, and you got a lot of housing units up there, which raised our base for the 10%. I always think about the 10% is like the carousel at Crescent Park and that ring.
Oh, yeah.
I was never particularly skilled at getting it. So I was like, just kind of, yeah, you see it, but you can't reach it kind of thing.
And that law that was passed this past year for the builders, that they don't have to provide the housing. They can give the money to the town.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything to help.
Yeah, actually, there's even a bill pending in the legislature that I was looking at the state legislative website, where you can look at bills by category and who sponsored them and all this other stuff. It's actually kind of interesting. There's a bill that, you know, towns have impact fees for a new development to pay for the cost of it. But there's a bill up there that would say that towns can't charge an impact fee if there's excess capacity in their schools, which is pretty much every school in the state of Rhode Island.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times with the legislature, you look and say, well, who sponsored it? Give you an idea whether it's got legs or not. And that particular bill has a Warwick legislator Joe Sicarchi, who's got a big war chest. It's kind of interesting, you know.
It'd be nice for a short time.
Well, it makes...
I think, but...
Yeah, I mean... You know, but the fee for a single family home on an impact fee, I think, is about $3,000 now. And then there's a rec fee portion too. But this bill has caught our attention a little bit, so among other things. But there's a lot to it. I think what I was hoping, you know, we've talked, you know, how do we focus the comp plan update to try to position us better from a policy point of view to try to do better. I mean, obviously, there's other issues about resources, but a few things I wrote thinking. We need increased production, increased options, increased family housing, increased multifamily housing options, increased rental options. Probably be a good idea to encourage URI to build more housing on the campus because it could take a little pressure off, and friends in Narragansett would thank us as well. Increased resources. We've talked about that at length, at state basis, federal basis, local basis. Probably need to even look at density a little bit. I mean, we've been kind of fearful of that, but some of the stuff that the state wants in comp plans talks about not in areas that are served in the urban services areas, which is like Wakefield, Peacedale, or Kingston. They want to see some zoning that's, well, we have a lot of R10 zoning, you know, quarter acre. What they're looking for is probably more like an R8. Or you can explain if there's circumstances why a community, I mean, we don't want to go around rezoning all these R10 to something else. I mean, that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, that would be a fight.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to get a big raise.
Right. And a lot of, but interestingly enough, if you look at a lot of the older development pattern in the village areas of the town, a lot of it's on fairly small lots, less than, you know, we have a lot of non-conforming lots in the community.
Right.
Yeah, because they were done in the 50s before.
But
1850.
Yeah, we need to, well, before zoning.
Right.
1951, by the way.
51, yeah.
That's okay.
Before that, you did whatever the hell you want in time. And some people still do, by the way. you know, and then you talk about we need to be creative. Because, I mean, it seems like if you look at a lot of plans that communities do, there's a lot of commonalities in it. But, I mean,
I think we need everything from those tiny houses for single people who are homeless. Mm-hmm. I look up that stuff all the time. And some of them are good-looking little things.
Mm-hmm. And cottage-style development.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've had a couple cottage-style subdivisions, small divisions come our way.
Yeah.
No, I mean
and
tiny
homelessness
houses.
Get it. Well, homelessness just get homeless.
300 feet, square feet.
A lot of the grant programs, a high priority is homelessness.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So I think we need to put that in. And I think there's another article I wanted to send to you, and I'll get your email address, and I'll send it to you tomorrow. There was a great article in the paper about construction and the builders. Maybe that's what you were talking about, that there's not enough houses being built. Mm. And the guy, one of the guys they interviewed said, and I thought he was 100% right. He said the towns have been protecting the schools. And that's why we don't have a lot of
that was John Mark Antonio.
Yes.
Was the Builders Association executive. Well, you know, so frankly, did we have enough? Yeah.
So I think it's time. Oh, thank you.
We did have it.
I think it's time for us, with the schools not filled, to be saying that we have space for these families.
Right. We do now, right?
Yeah.
In the schools, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole section of Broad Rock Middle School, I think, that's not being
the whole
utilized.
Second floor, I don't think, is being used. Yes. So we might get away from that, let's protect the schools things for a while.
Well, that bill on the impact fees kind of speaks very directly to that.
Yes.
And I guarantee you that bill's genesis was from the Rhode Island Builders Association.
Yes.
Can you repeat what you said, that bill?
Well, the bill... the bill is that if a community is to charge impact fees for new development, which, interestingly enough, Richmond is just starting to look at. You know, they've lagging a little bit there, I guess. But by the time they get into business, you won't be able to do it. Well, anyway, South Kingstown's had that for quite a number of years, but we have fair share development fees, they're called, and there's a component for school facilities and a component for recreation and open space. So it's two parts of the fee, and they're based on these calculations. The school part was based on school capacity for many years, and when the Broad Rock Middle School was built, any impact fee the town gets
goes towards the reduction.
Well, it goes to that, but there's, you know, money from the general tax base goes for that. But about half of the bonding obligations is targeted for impact fees to, you know, help that. You know, and it kind of makes sense because new people come in and they, you know, new housing, new families typically will have kids. Steve had unbelievable, still does, on database on where the school children come from all over the town, and and maintain that for many years. So the new, at this point, and you know, since actually right after they built the Broad Rock Middle School, the trend across the state and elsewhere was fewer kids.
Changed fast. Mm-hmm.
It changed, you know, and there was this ramp up, and then towns thought, geez, we've got to build a new school, and the town did. And
by the time it was done.
Right.
It started to reverse. Yeah, I know it. I mean, I don't know. And
stressing. So if the schools are full, you can't charge the impact fee.
No, if the schools have excess capacity, this bill would say a community, and I would dare to say that every school system in the state is probably in that position.
So then is the state law, the enabling legislation for municipalities to then charge the impact fee?
Well, this is that's the title of the section. I mean, it's in, I'm not sure what committee it's before. House?
Well, I know this is the amendment, right, that they're talking about. But
there's an existing law on it.
Right. What I was going to ask is kind of a dumb question, but so clearly at some point somebody said the priorities for all municipalities are schools, open space and recreation, or maybe South Kingstown said that that's a priority. Mm. Where's, could you charge an impact fee towards affordable housing?
That's what I was just going to ask. Is that
it's kind of like a double dip.
I have to take a look at the law. I mean, I did actually read the law today because I was looking at. It's based on the town has to do a needs assessment in terms of, but most communities have. It has to be for impact fees have to have a purpose of to address what the impact of the new development is. So it has to have that. They call it.
So
you're
saying
lawyers call it a nexus. You know,
when a subdivision has two new houses, they have to pay the same fees on the affordables.
No, affordable housing does not pay the fee.
Okay.
The state law is proposed, but I think some communities still charge that for affordable. We don't, and we haven't.
So are you saying that there isn't a clear nexus between the impact of market rate housing and affordable housing? Not that you would say that, but I'm saying that is that maybe something that didn't meet the test of being the nexus? A clear enough connection, because I can see, market rate units. If that's all you're building, then clearly you're not building affordable units, and that's a problem, and that's having an impact fee.
Well, that's modified by the inclusionary zoning ordinance. Because if you're building market rate now, you're supposed to be building.
I'm not clear what you're asking.
I guess what I'm suggesting is if there were an opportunity locally to have a split of fair development fee put towards affordable housing, that'd be a great thing. So there's a local pot of money that goes to help promote affordable housing. I think I heard you say that you have to have a nexus between the impact of any standard development.
Of the new development towards facility requirements of the town is what it's been.
Facilities. So open spaces?
Well, open space recreation.
Yeah.
That's how it's been used,
not just here,
I think,
it's a stretch to put affordable housing in there, but I'm saying it. Yeah. We're kind of here assessing it as kind of a town obligation.
But right now, the school component, when people come in and build a new house and they pay their impact fees, the school part of it goes to pay down the bond that was issued for Broad Rock.
Yeah.
So that's the connection. So it can't be to subsidize existing facilities. It's going to pay for the impact of
the
facilities that will need to accommodate the growth. Now,
even though
that's reversed, I mean, the town is on, those bonds were issued, so there's an obligation for the community to pay, and that facility is available for the new people coming in, and they help. And it's about a half and half split, the regular tax base, those of us sitting
here. So when
they
put in the Green Hill Beach playground,
mm-hmm.
that was probably new and could have been used from that money? Could have been...
Probably a portion.
Yeah.
I think on the recreation side, it's a different calculus. It's based on, there's some federal formula about how much recreational area you need per thousand persons in a community. And then you kind of figure out what the average household size is and what the acreage per 1,000, and then break it down on a per capita basis, and you get a number out of that.
Right.
It's like
I could never do that for a living.
The manager, I think, numbers,
Liz,
he figured it out. I remember when I get involved in it once a year to look at, help to write the narrative for the capital budget, and I have to, have to understand what the numbers mean.
Which
I'm not a numbers person, but. I can figure that out. It just takes a little while.
So I'm looking for a way for you to tell me, no, we can't do this. So if the town said, we're going to put $1 million aside to buy property for affordable housing, And we're going to change our local ordinance so that the fair share...
Well, I'm not going to tell you. No, I'm going to say I don't know.
Yeah.
But, no, but just, I don't... I think you need to look at that law.
Yeah.
I would... I'm going to, you know, at least something else worth looking at is the real estate transfer tax, which we talked about.
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot.
Right. So I don't know the answer. I don't know your answer. It's probably a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I might be
it's probably worth looking at.
And look,
if you, I'll send you a reference to the law tomorrow morning.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Now it goes to operating.
We lost that fate. Because we lobby that kind of stuff.
But maybe that's a good feed into, you know, resources we're going to talk about.
So really what we need is, a lot of times I compare this to the open space stuff, the land
I
trust.
Have some.
We need an angel. You know, like somebody with 100 acres goes to them and says, well, we're going to keep 20 and we maybe want to give this land. We need somebody who wants to say, not only will sell a portion of it, to help build some of these. Where are those rich people?
So maybe there needs to be an article.
They're in Florida.
Yeah, so you know, we did a public thing years ago and then a second one, and to kind of talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not known like open space, you know?
Right.
And it's too bad because I thought of a couple people that if I could bump into that have that kind of land.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should just check that out and invite them to the meeting here.
Yeah.
But if they don't like water table pipes, then they're going to go nuts.
I don't think they do that anymore.
Now, we have talked about the real estate transfer tax. And
why do we have to?
Well, no.
Just as a fundraiser.
As a
potential.
But, yes.
But so, if you buy, Mark knows this better than I, but my understanding is that there's a fee of $4 per thousand on a regular lease.
Up to $440 last year.
Oh, okay, $440 per thousand for real estate.
Yeah.
And the state, I think, keeps 45% of that money.
Sounds right. I'm not.
And the towns keep 55%.
This is on the sale of a home?
Yeah.
So it's like a tax.
So it's 4% per
it's
thousand?
Paid on
4.5%.
Yeah.
That's the tax stamps you'll often hear
4.4.
When you put the stamps on it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I have never had a seller who knew about it, even if they sold the house 20 years ago. So we have to talk about that stuff.
Wow.
And
yeah.
Let them know what they're going to walk away
right.
with,
but
from the gross sales price to the commission.
I mean, the
taxes.
Town has had a policy of about, and I don't know how they came up with these numbers, but 77.3% of the receipts go to open space funding, and 28%. Goes towards general fund expenditures.
Yeah. Now, you have to actually use that money within a certain period
of
time.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'll second that. Because
does it strongly consider diversion of those transfer tax fees?
Well, we have talked in the past.
We have talked about that.
We have talked about, there's 30, the town, now open space has been tremendously successful, and it did grow, the support for that grew out of the growth we're talking about. Mentioning in the mid 80s,
right,
where it was exponential, and people were saying we're losing the essence of the community, we got to preserve. So there's been a good community effort over time. At this point in time, there's 31.5% of the land area in South Kingstown is permanently protected.
I mean, I think it's getting to the point that unless there's going to connect one piece to another,
yeah,
I mean, how much
we're seeing a lot,
how much can we afford to have?
The last open space. Substantial acquisition was the Browning Farm,
right?
And the town, on Jerry Brown Farm Road, and the town participated in that on a kind of a minor's.
Yeah.
And right now there's a money raising effort going to the Whaley Farm,
right?
It's about 40 acres.
So that's the difference. They did the land trust put together with people with money who do a great job. And we've talked in the past about could we have a group like that? But to be honest, that whole thing comes from an elitist point of view. Mm. They don't want to look out their houses and see other houses.
Yeah.
So that's why we have trouble getting people to help us on our end, because they don't own a lot of land. There's not a lot of money. I mean, we've never had anybody say, can we give you $1,000? Because we have $10,000 in an account here.
But that generates, that real estate transfer tax generates good amount of money, and in the capital budget, there's usually a projection of about having about, I don't know, 200 and a quarter per year available for open space.
So I think we should suggest that we get the same percentage for our use than the land trust gets.
Well, and I'd also suggest that, honestly, it's looking at, as you suggested, kind of anecdotally, a lot of the large parcels have been preserved. That's hugely important.
And I like that. I'm a member.
And as Vin had said earlier, I think, some of the opportunities are some smaller infill. We're not necessarily competing with large open spaces out in areas with wonderful vistas. I mean, it's not necessarily on the bus route. It's not necessarily fitting the demographic of the folks that need to have affordable rentals or just housing in general, with the exception of, Jeff going out there and making things happen to Shannon.
I think there's a lot of
yeoman's work.
There's a lot of single family parents, female or male, with a kid or two who drive cars to work. So it could work further out there, but it would be better with sewers and water.
I think it's, really it's complementary. The two groups, these wide open spaces, and then you've got a lot of infill for small.
I agree with you philosophically, but we've tried.
We did try several years ago. Did I circulate that letter, I think, to the group?
Sent it.
Yeah, we tried several years ago to have a conversation.
Yeah, you sent it to us 2 months ago. We talked about it two minutes ago.
The Vermont model, so-called, where they have open space preservation a little
work
bit.
Together.
But following up on the discussion last month, my internal clock is going to be paced to what the town is going to be going through, both on the comp plan rewrite as well as next year's budget cycle. So, now's the time to start talking, let the planning board know what our thoughts are. Certainly, through town staff and the town manager, because, anytime you take money away, you leave a hole. So, there's a massive juggling act that needs to go on. So these things don't happen overnight.
Right. Yeah, and we're going to meet with the planning board at some point. So this is the kind of stuff we want to discuss.
Yeah, I think as part of the I thought the board would like to hear your perspectives because, we are seeing fewer open space acquisition opportunities, and typically the town is kind of in a position of gap financing where, the land
the
trust they do a great job in putting these deals together, but it's kind of like affordable housing. It's like, you don't buy a piece of land for open space or the development rights using one program. It's almost always, private donations, the farm and ranch land protection program, fish and wildlife, or something else. And then the town, will be asked for Whaley because, that deal looks to be moving positively, which is good, actually. It's a connected piece.
Does that percentage now include that parcel or no?
No.
Okay.
No, I think last year the land trust did a few, and as we have 11,473.3 acres in the town. So.
And you can get a great map from out of Vin's office that shows you the open space, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, land trust. Yeah. Color.
I think it's on the website actually.
Is it?
But we have it's a good map, and it breaks out who owns what, and we have a chart actually in the capital budget, everybody from Audubon to Fish and Wildlife, Land Trust, State of Rhode Island Nature Conservancy, Town, cluster subdivisions have open space in them. Which, by the way, is a big headache in terms of management because people routinely defile all of those areas. We're the open space police, Dennis and I, and not happily either. But it's a good thing, but it's really hard to police.
They're not doing that much anymore, are they?
Oh yeah, they're doing that. East Matunic Farm, for example, we've had people, put these posts up, this is the end of your property, this is open space, leave it alone.
The grass pile still goes down the other side.
Oh, no, one guy cut all this stuff down. He said, we had coyotes that were going to, eat my cat or something. It's like, you're not living in...
Not only that, those they usually have an association, those places. You're supposed to pay $35 a year times 17 houses to pay for the insurance.
I know, but
so that kind of stuff, and more than half don't pay.
I mean, it's a good model, but how those
right,
those associations a lot of times go pretty moribund over time, and
absolutely.
And it's a, you know, it's not just South Kingstown has the problem. Right. I mean, it's good to have an open space. It's great, but if it works well, it's great. But if it gets encroached upon, it's a headache.
It's gotta be a better way.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. We put posts up, all, you know, sure. Called witness posts.
Does Jeff help you with those?
Jeff? I think you should be on your police team.
We might deputize him. we'd use a guy like that.
He was spotted, yes. That's a good thing. So.
But I don't know. What other? I'm thinking, you know, because the resource end of open housing and open space, for that matter, is where the lack is in a lot of respects. You know, you had that continuum of things that need to be in place. Is Section 202 dead or 811?
811 is bopping around as a subsidy for specific units in a bigger development. Mm-hmm. It's not big enough to build anything anymore by itself. And 202, I think there's some talk about it coming. But not and, like
that,
it was.
And that's the program that built La Casa, and probably some other things earlier.
Well, 202 is all even Wakefield. Mm. All 202s.
Yeah.
So I would soften up based on this discussion, and time has passed, and I'm older and wiser, to say that we should propose something on the fee.
Mm. Wow.
I know.
Scared me, huh?
I had a couple of beers before I got here.
Ah.
Yes, you can. So what do we ask for, 20 cents?
On the real estate transfer?
Yeah.
It's a percentage now. So you get 440 per K. I don't know how that works out math-wise, but the town gets 55% of that $4.40. So that's 55 times...
I think what we would be asking is for the town council to say okay, or however you say that.
Or at least consider it having a conversation.
It's a statewide issue, so it's not just that South
Kingston. Well, I mean, it could be. I would say some of that money
could be
goes
split.
Back to retire bonds that would the town issued for. So, you know, understand that.
And yeah.
So there's a certain obligation.
We've talked about
the capital
before.
Budget usually. Money over and above what's targeted for the repayment of bonding is available for open space purposes.
You're not talking about raising the transfer tax. You're talking about siphoning off.
Or having more flexibility in its use, maybe.
Well, I think that's first. And second is, let's bump it the whole thing for the state.
Oh.
But
well,
for
the
this
real
purpose, of course. I mean, I know it has to be divided.
No, but
that's going to get crazy.
But the realtors
are quick.
Heresy.
I know. Yeah. I wouldn't be on any more committees. That's okay. Really?
It's interesting, but there might be. I've heard at the council level saying, they talk about how much open space, and open space is never going to not be a priority in the community. But ironically, taking big parcels out that could go to housing. To some degree, maybe results in higher prices for other available parcels, and then that translates into, pressure on the housing market to accommodate a growing community.
Yeah, I think the people who support it are looking at it one way, and they want their open space, but it causes a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Of course, I've had well-to-do people come and say, "How come my kid can't find a house?"
Yeah.
Well, because some of the open space you've got. It's taken away where people can build.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's as simple
sword.
As that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that simple.
Well, he seemed a little more interested in thinking about it after that,
Well.
My apologies. I have a friend that's singing at Wakefield Idol, and I need to go.
All right.
I have free tickets for that.
Yeah, the guy I know, Vinnie Joyce, is in the semifinals. Is Vinnie Joyce still in the mix?
Yeah, it's a blast.
I'm not sure. See you all.
Right. I forgot that was tonight.
Well, actually, I gotta go. I have a cartoon coming on.
There's a beer waiting for me.
Well, I just if we could think about how we can help the planning board with that, and think about policy, that would be and resources.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, you got a little list there from what we were talking about. I think
And I think a lot of those things are reflected, but I think our housing element, you know, could be stronger, and we need to, you know, more
robust.
But, you know, it's a difficult thing because, you know, change comes hard to a more mature community, which we are. But the need is there, so people need to.
I think that it's probably time for us to meet with a reporter like Liz Boardman, for instance, because these statistics are pretty powerful in terms of who needs what. And if we could have do a list of the important points here just to help her write that article. And maybe she could do that for us, some form of this every twice a year. To kind of keep pushing it, you know?
Yeah. Just let the public become aware of the issue.
Yeah, these statistics are pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't know much about what's going on, but you have that fabulous accessory apartment zoning change that was made, and I certainly wasn't aware of it until I went to town to see what I could do with this building I have in my backyard. And I don't know if other people are just not aware, but that would be a great thing to add to that article because it really helped immensely. I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. And no one told me, and I read tonight that I think I could have, not that I would have not paid the $3,000 in fees, but if I wanted to make it an affordable apartment, I could have waived those.
Yep.
But I wasn't made aware of it at all. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. But there would have been some obligations coming with it, but yeah.
Right.
Every affordable home has to have a subsidy attached to it. So if you don't have like a federal or a state subsidy, would be considered a municipal subsidy. By waiving that, by getting a fee waived.
So I would agree to keep it at 80% or whatever.
For 30 or 99 years. Yes. Years. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just that information
is it 30?
It's 99.
In town.
In town. In this town. 99 years, which is the legal equivalent of forever.
Why would anybody?
Well,
are you going to still be here?
Why would I agree to that to save $3,000?
Yeah, I think it's time for us.
Oh, 30 years. 30 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
That's the minimum.
That's the minimum.
It's not that attractive.
That's the minimum under the state law. It's the 30 years.
But even just being able to make an accessory apartment would help me, it would help someone gain that extra income. Right. It's a wonderful...
We did that, 5 years ago or something?
Well, we had it for a long while.
Yeah,
it was 600 square feet, and then we took it up to 750. And then changed, I remember, I can't remember, but I wrote some, how we figure out to exclude the because people came in and said, they were... There's one family that was an older couple, and they wanted to move to an accessory apartment on their property, and their son wanted to buy the main house. But the guy was saying, he came in with diagrams and said, I've got all this stuff. He said, he says, I want to get rid of some of it. He said, but I can't, my wife and I can't fit our stuff in 600 square feet. There was no storage. And so we figured out a way to loosen that up a little bit. He made a good point, but it's not a requirement that those be affordable. But I think by their nature, they tend to be a good resource.
Just new units we wouldn't have had.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they, one bedrooms, according to this stat thing, go for $1,000 a month, which seems to me to be a lot.
Well, there's no one bedroom.
It seems to be what?
A lot.
Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah.
It is true, yeah.
I mean, is the difference between... a one-bedroom apartment, even if they're the same size in an old house with the old sink, someone did it over, and they're walking into a new, like a new house is worth per square foot more than the same house used, depending on the condition. Yeah. So I think that those numbers must be for really good units.
But if we had more accessory apartments in the town, even if they weren't affordable per se, it would be a good resource for people because... There's a good segment of the population that would say, "Boy, that's perfect,"
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially now where people can't afford to put big additions on, or they're not moving, to be able to do that with your existing property. Like for me, it's a great way for me to make a little extra money, and it's not going to cost me all that much. And I think a lot of people need to know about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the papers and stuff, but that's something
well,
we can
but
bring
you know,
up.
You know, it does, the building official, if someone comes in for one, he probably could be more communicative about, you know, hey, by the way.
Right.
You know, but I mean, building officials tend to be a little more.
You got to do what?
It's not written down. They're not going to say it.
Well, something else for an article in the paper.
Well, but we should have more. I think that was a good. We also, you know, loosened up what you could do for duplexes, but there didn't seem much interest to build duplexes in the town. Mm. Seen a few.
What did they do? How did you? What was the change?
I think less land area needed to support in the R10. You only need 15,000 square feet.
Oh yes.
Yeah, water
yes,
and sewer
instead of 20.
Yeah. Like up here, up the street, there's two duplexes being built.
Yes.
But kind of big cash for each side.
Yeah.
They're pretty nice.
Yeah.
I think they're bulbous. It just doesn't fit there. The roofs are humongous.
Yeah. People complained about the height of that, even though they meet the height. The, yeah.
Yeah, looks bulbous, I think.
Yeah. They're down the street here on the corner of High and...
This side of the street with the stone wall around it.
Is it High and... High and
Tuck?
Austin. Mm. Yeah. Mm. High and Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's massive.
And it's big.
It's out of place.
Yeah, it is out of place.
And
there
was more to build it, and he's asking 300 and something.
Per unit?
Per unit.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a little slow.
Hey, open house Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 3. I walk by there today.
Wow.
I mean, I guess they'll sell, but...
Not for that number, I don't think.
That number seems high.
It was a wrong structure for the location.
But the land, that sale, that was a dilapidated house that was...
That was a cute house. I sold that once.
But was it... I don't know if it's salvageable.
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen it in recent
Pardon?
Years.
Was it the old red cape with the...
No, it was white.
White, Victorian.
Oh, no, but I know that one you were talking about, yeah.
I was surprised at the size of that lot when
the old red cape, that was
but
one of the oldest houses in the town.
Really?
Mm. That was a pretty...
That's further down on the same side.
And that was built, that was teared down and rebuilt. But that was a big lot, which people didn't realize.
That was a beautiful lot.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And the house was set back and had all kinds of junk on the porch, and it looked like it was ready.
Once, when I came to town, that was a cute little place, well taken care of.
So there's opportunity. You know, that talks about infill. There's opportunity, but it's got to be done right. There was a couple of houses built on Mechanic Street where they had another house that was...
Yeah.
And those are pretty... I don't know what they're... do you know what they're asking for those? You know the two on Mechanic and... Prospect. Is it?
Yeah. They were in the threes.
Hmm.
I think they've sold.
Yeah.
It was that old house.
We had
that house for sale.
That was the worst.
We were a lawyer, and it was unbelievable. It was
that builder bought it. It was fussing around with it for a while.
For 2 years. Yeah, he couldn't pull it off.
I know it.
So we sold it, and they broke it into two lots, which just fits there.
It does fit.
Would have been nice to have a little Victorian kind of thing rather than a colonial, but...
No room for a garage, but a little tight, but those are two...
Not even for a driveway.
Non-conforming lots of record.
Right. Yeah.
So they were platted before zoning.
Yeah.
When the house was torn down, the lots... And if you have water, sewer, R10 zone, lots of record, generally speaking, do not get combined, although there's... been some discussion about that with regard to Oak Street.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Which is being appealed to the zoning board on the 16th of March.
I was going to ask you how what was happening there.
A good time will be had by nobody. but there is some, you know, if you look, there's some little pockets in town where more things could happen. the point is, it's got to be done right.
Right. Off Kenyon Avenue there on the right-hand side, there's quite a few lots sitting there that are attached to a house. The house is on the original that bought the lot later, so it's not going over the lot line. Mm-hmm. And I found that out. I found that thing, Vin, when 15 years ago I was listing a house in that area that had, and they happened to have the plat map for when they bought it in the 30s. And there were all these little lots.
Yeah.
So I went to Bow and I said, and there was a paper street there. Hmm. And he said, yeah, if town water, town sewer.
Yep.
You know, R10. That those lots could be, they not the originals, but you could take two of them in this particular case. And there was one lot in the end. Hmm.
Well, I mean, some people are figuring that out, you know, a little research in land evidence records.
Right.
You know, which can be, actually can be kind of an interesting thing to do. I don't do it too often, but I do love to look at the old plats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them very elegant, how they were drawn and all that, so not like
that. I had realtors call and say, how could they build a house there?
Well.
I said, well, there is an ordinance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a good ordinance, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that allows for...
That was exactly what 15 years ago to have infill in town with water and sewers.
Yeah, that came into... I think that ordinance actually came into effect in 1978 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've learned a lot about that recently, detail-wise, in terms of this property on Oak Street that's come up for development.
And that's all because it had been plotted at one time.
Yeah, back in... Oh, yeah, we've got all the old record plots. It's just, there was a little bit of a confusing history there that's gonna, that will be clarified, and then we'll know which way we're going to zig or zag with that. But anyway, this...
So can I call Liz Boardman and just see if she's interested?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have her come to a meeting.
That
would be great.
She lives in town. Yeah. She's got a new young... very, very young woman reporter just out of URI. Can't remember. I just met her today, but I don't remember what her name is. But I know.
It happens when you get old.
I know it. I'm hanging around with this guy. That's what But
I'll call her just to see. I mean, I think they would do a good job. Not that the Times wouldn't.
But if there is an opportunity with the planning board undertaking new work to at least, you know, think about, you know, a lot of things, but housing is a need in the community. And
and I think with the articles that were in the paper last week, these statistics, it's a good time to...
Oh, the PR for the bond, too.
Yeah, that's going to
start building that
gearing
momentum.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if some of that bond comes to roost in South Kingstown.
It depends, you know, who goes... Like Cheryl said, who goes after it?
Plus,
we need a developer.
Who's ready?
To
needs to be
after
ready,
that
too.
One.
Yeah.
And it has to be shovel-ready when they present it, right?
Yeah. Well, you were on that committee at one time, right?
Yes, so it's going to stay the same, I guess. And it has to be ready to go.
But there'll be a big push to support that. You know, wasn't the last bond bigger, $55
million? 50.
Yeah, all right.
But I think this $40,000 is over 5 years.
Four years.
So for a developer to know that now and could locate something, he has
some
time.
It's a creature of the budget, right? And there'll be
It's got to survive that process.
Yeah, to get.
But you know, it has in the past.
Yeah,
and it's done well.
Yeah, so it's needed, definitely. And housing's economic development, which the governor is, you know, very focused on. You know, a lot of people swing hammers and
sell. And the governor was on the board of Crossroads.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So she does have.
She was on the board of Rhode Island Housing too, wasn't she?
I think de facto now.
All
I don't know that she goes, but.
Well, I don't think Mr. Chafee ever went, did he?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you that the governor talks a lot of talk, but she's also holding up the block grant awards for 2 months.
Yeah,
the award letter's sitting on her desk and they ain't moving anywhere fast. Mm-hmm. So that's money that can be on the street doing stuff.
Yeah.
Sitting on her desk.
Yeah, we've had a lot of activity with the block grant lately. Jeff's involved in our administration and involved in oversight, but there's been a lot of different things happening with money from the town for the block grant for the senior center rehabilitation, Welcome House, a good deal. You know, they've done real well. You know, and I think Joe Jobeck, I think he's doing a real good job.
Good
over
guy.
Yeah, he's the new
Is that the new director?
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's really, he's actually, we had one of his clients was a skilled tradesman, right? And had him do some work, and they were able to, and the guy's doing beautiful stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, Yeah, and the guy's getting himself together, and, you know, I mean, that's, yeah, Joe's a good guy. I mean, I like him, I think.
A little excitable at times.
Well, yeah, he's, well, you'll calm him down, but, and one of the things we've done, too, with the town, we get rehabilitation money through the block grant, and we had it structured so that we wouldn't really do a proper, we try to spread the money out, and as a consequence, you know, you'd fix some stuff in the house, but not, you know, not really do it soup to nuts. Jeff convinced us that we should go after the state set-aside money, which is a good idea because it doesn't penalize the human service agencies, because if we ask for rehab money, they give us a chunk, but it comes out of a, you know, a finite, you know, amount we get. Mm-hmm. And so now we're able to go after the state set-aside money on an individual project basis. And what was that last project? That we just...
The one we just okayed?
Yeah.
27,000?
Yeah, which is a lot more than we would spend typically. But the house needs the work, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bulkhead, foundation work, floors, lead paint issues.
So yeah. Jeff goes around town and looks for houses that need work. Hmm.
Well,
it's pretty charming.
Well, I don't actually go around town.
Well, that's what it seemed like to me.
I'm like a spider.
One time and said, do you know who lives in that house?
Well, that red house over by the school?
Yeah.
It still looks like a dump.
It does.
Yeah.
It's back to
Well, I talked to her.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I
Mrs.
Told
Castro,
you that.
Is it? No.
Yes. Yeah. What'd she say?
She alive and well?
Yeah. Okay. She remembered me. Her father, her ex-husband.
You can't tell me there ain't water getting in that house.
I told her that there was money available and if she could talk to you, and she said no.
No? Okay. Well,
her husband retired from URI, right? He was a...
I think she's been divorced for years, and I met them in the 70s because her husband was an assistant manager at the Dunes Club.
Right.
And I worked at the Dunes Club that year. I learned a lot that year.
Francis, right?
Huh?
Because I worked in the Dunes Club in the early 80s.
Yeah, I was. This was the...
You were still a legend, by the way.
Yeah, right. But it was an interesting thing. So she always remembers me.
Yeah.
If I bump into it, I bumped into it at Healy's, and I said, come on, let's talk outside.
Yeah, roof has got to be leaking more.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just cut the grass, but, you know, it looks like, and the car is like sinking into the ground.
Yeah, she had children were going to help her, and it was going to be done soon.
Well, it hadn't happened.
Well, anyway.
But
that's
fun.
Yeah, there's a little...
talk to you about later.
by the way, the Elks is doing a program.
That's so great. I read that in the paper.
Yeah. What program?
It's called Home Wrap. When they got, and Ken Kennerson, one of our, you know, planning board members.
He used to sit with us here.
Yeah. He, everyone knows Ken, but he secured a grant from the National Elks Foundation of $10,000, and they got all these, and they've done maintenance and painting and small jobs with all volunteers, and I think they put the, you know, put the arm on Arnold Lumber for free stuff and Home Depot for free stuff. And they put together, he did a report before the council a few weeks ago. It was really nice. I mean, Kenzie. And they went back to the Elks Foundation. They got the grant again.
Yep.
And that's as much as, you know, $10,000 is the biggest grant they'll give, and they've got it 2 years.
I mean, I think in that stats it said we have 300 and something people over 85.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's been helping.
So they're targeting elderly, low income?
Handicapped, you know, people who just, and they've got the Boy Scouts, and they've got high school kids helping. So, you know, they just attack a place
and
clean up the whole yard.
I think there was a story in the paper to begin with and sent to people, sent to this address.
We had their poster downstairs for a couple of weeks outside the clerk's office.
Yes.
And hopefully that'll generate more leads, but. Yeah, and the town, you know, we wrote a letter saying that, you know, we supported that and we would work, you know, work with the Elks if any way we could. So that's, you know, a little...
Does it have to be in SK?
No, they did some stuff in... they did things in Narragansett, too.
So elderly and disabled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Among others. So I think they'd help anybody who needs it, to be honest.
Okay.
And,
that's good to know.
Yeah. And they,
well,
you know...
He said he had more than they could do, but they didn't meet them and look at...
Yeah, if they can handle the project, and I think some of the, you know, they, You know, I think the biggest thing they did was a new bulkhead they put in on somebody's property. And they did tree work.
They did ramps too, aren't they?
Yeah, they did a couple of ramps. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Home Wrap and Ken Kennerson is the...
I bet you we could, if we had a place to put ramps, realist houses, probably one every 2 years, just my office where there's one on it and it's not needed anymore because the person's passed.
Yeah.
And you put an ad in the paper, see if some they would give it. But you just can't quite.
You should talk to Ken about that. I bet you they would.
Yeah, they might
come,
be.
They
I
come,
will.
They would come grab it, I bet.
We had a house recently on Kingstown Road. There were two hospital beds. And C.N. Hetzner and Martha Day, husband and wife, went all over the place trying to see. But, you know, it's used, so it's not for everybody, but they couldn't find a place to get those.
Well, Ocean State Center for Independent Living and Perry are two places that work in helping people become independent. So they'll take ramps, they'll take wheelchairs and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ocean State what?
Ocean State Center for Independent Living also, and Parry, P-A-R-I, two different independent living social service agencies in the state. Recycle.
I could do a thing to the Rhode Island Association of Realtors, and you could tell all the realtors this in one.
I can. One thing. I'll circulate the contact information for the Home Wrap program.
Great. Okay. And can I just say with these numbers that just went out, I have that's my new email address.
On here?
Yeah. So if it's on your computer, just make sure you include that one and not my old one.
Okay.
And also the work number is crossed off because I am retired.
Oh, congratulations.
That's right. I have to tell Ginny I'll have to fix that. So. Well, good for you. So.
Another 3.5 years, if I live that long, I might be saying the same thing.
That long, huh?
That's my plan.
Well, you could die young, you know.
So. Well, that won't happen.
That's very
Okay, so maybe we can talk during the month, Ben, and kind of just come up with a little list that we would have for Liz and for us as talking points if she can come.
Yeah, she lives in town. She would. I mean, she's the editor, but she still has a hand in.
And she writes some stuff every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
If she's into it, maybe she'll write it. She doesn't have to.
What's her last name?
Boardman.
Boardman.
Okay.
She's covered the council for years.
Yes.
I know her pretty well. She's a good person.
She took over for Betty.
Yeah, she's done a real good job with that.
Yeah.
Papers changed a bit, but
now
it's a lot of North Kingstown, which makes us look good because they're fighting over everything all the time.
I think it's good. I never really knew what was going on there, so I enjoyed that.
What's
having
the going?
That in there.
You enjoyed that?
Well, yeah, I do.
Jeff knows all about what's going on.
Yeah. I read all the papers. But interesting thing with North Kingstown, talking about impact fees. They've been collecting them for years and years.
Not spending it.
Now they got to give it all back.
Well, the state law existing, I think, says 12 years. You have to, if you don't
seven,
use it.
They were talking 7 years.
Well,
back in the state?
Back to the people that paid them.
Really?
with interest.
I'm surprised that the... I'm surprised the state's not taking it. I know.
They didn't use it.
Really?
They did not use it.
That's just...
You know how dysfunctional the finance office has been up there forever. Mm-hmm. Trish came in, straightened it all out, and she left, and it's back in the mess again.
Wow. Well, anyway.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to end this here at 8:30.
So moved.
All those in favor?
All right. Thank you very much.